Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Hey. I'm practicing my tenor. I'm not sure if I hit
it.
But
that was.
I just feel like, no, baritone. I don't know. Somewhat, I figured the lower range, it's time for you guys to see that I do indeed have the range. So, just a little tidbit of what I've been working on.
We never had a doubt.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Happy Brun Ambition Wednesday.
Yes, and we are back. So first things first, I need to know, dishwasher update.
Listen, I had very little expectation when I was just complaining to you guys about my whole dishwasher saga. If you are out of the loop, you got to listen to last week's show. I told you all about how LG and Best Buy were conspiring to try and steal $1,000 from us for like a busted dishwasher. So I went to Twitter. I took Tiffany's advice. I haven't used Twitter to complain about a problem with the company publicly in a long time. But I went to Twitter and I started a thread just telling my story. And I asked you guys to retweet me and at them and comment. And you came through to like a hilarious degree. I loved it.
We are both the best and the worst at the same time.
Yes, the worst. I mean, to LG, the worst, but to me, the best. Oh my God. I should read some of the tweets. It was like a lot of people were like, I mean, I guess I know which brand I'm never going to buy again.
They brought the dramatics to the table. No,
yes. And Tiffany, thank you for retweeting. So what happened was I ended up in a DM conversation with LG customer support pretty much for 2 days in a row. And then they did not want to progress the case at all. Where my husband was getting stymied was they kept saying, it's not covered by the warranty. We're so sorry. Nothing we can do. And I kept pushing and pushing. And anytime they would they would get quiet for a couple of hours and then I would just go find people would tweet and then it would just bring it back again. And after day one, we got more retweets and it just like they couldn't ignore it. Finally, I got a message from them saying, we have forwarded your case to our returns department. Here's your order number or here's your case number. You should get an answer in 3 to 5 business days. And I asked my husband, like, has that happened before? And he said, no, that's actually really good. It means that there's a chance we'll get a refund. And so 3 to 5 business days ended today. So I had Husbay call them up and they said our refund and our exchange has been approved. Yes.
The tweets win again.
It worked. I can't believe it. So I haven't actually, I'm not going to claim it on Twitter that I've succeeded until I get that like new dishwasher in place, because I'm still dubious. Like, because right now, because the thing is, we bought it through Best Buy, but it was an LG dishwasher. LG is saying that they've approved it for the warranty now to be replaced, but that Best Buy is going to reach out to us now to arrange like an exchange and a new machine or whatever. So I'm going to keep waiting before I like call a complete victory, because I don't know. Like, I don't know, Best Buy, like, what if they try and play something? I don't know. I'm just a little suspicious, but this is amazing. Thank you guys so much.
Yes. Oh my gosh. That is awesome.
My husband did not believe. He did not believe. He was like, you got to buy a new dishwasher. Like,
I am the queen. Like, I don't abuse Twitter, but I, you know what? This is hilarious. But when I found out that like that whole complaint to Twitter thing kind of worked, is my friend, I'll call his name, she won't care, Chike. So Chike one time went to Dunkin' Donuts and they wouldn't give him extra butter on his bagel without charging more.
What?
And so I guess he got a buttered bagel and it was like really low on the butter. So he's like, oh, hey, there's not much butter on here. Can I have more? They're like, oh, that'll be an extra 35 cents or something like that. So he wrote a tweet like, this is outrageous. Look at this. Like, oh. And when I tell you, Shige got like, I don't know, like a $10 gift certificate. But I remember this was probably like 5-6 years ago. But I remember thinking, you got more butter on your bagel via Twitter? So I use it very rarely, only if the normal means don't work. Because sometimes, and it's definitely not to obviously abuse. That's only if like a company has made a mistake and they're refusing to acknowledge it. And you might think you have to have like a huge following. I've used it, I would say less than 5 times in like 5 or 6 years. And without fail, I've at least gotten it escalated. And you know, so yeah, no, yeah, show the shimmy. Good news.
I feel so vindicated. My husband just did not believe he was ready. He wanted me to spend another $1,000 on a dishwasher. I'm like, you cannot. I was like, take me off the bench, coach. You're tired. You've been dealing with this for 2 months now. So thank you guys so, so very much. And I'll keep you posted.
I just love when good people win.
You know, I feel vindicated. Anyway, I'm not the only win in our lives right now, actually. Okay. All we do is win, win, win. No matter what. So I have started to tell people some very big personal news for me and husband. We are expecting our first child.
That's me screaming in dog pitch. Poor Molly is probably like, what is going on?
Poor Molly has no idea what's about to happen to her life, to her world where mommy only has her, you know, to deal with.
Yes. I mean, obviously, guys, I knew. I mean, but it's still sad. Every time, I always forget. And then I'm like, wait, Mandy's a mom. Oh, my God. That's awesome.
I don't think I've earned that title quite yet. I am a vessel of life, though, you know. I do have a little, like, octopus type thing squirming around in there right now. That's what I feel like. I just feel like there's an alien invasion.
You know, so crazy, the fact that is the most Mandy thing. It literally needs to be on a T-shirt. I am... Mom, not so much. Vessel of life, yeah. That's like literally the most Mandy thing you've ever said, like ever. So yes, I love it.
Vessel of life, yeah. So I've started. You know what's funny is like I didn't realize how awkward it is to tell people, because a lot of people, especially with work and like friends, you don't see everybody all the time, so it doesn't like come up in normal conversation. Plus, if you start getting round around the middle, no one in their right mind is gonna ask you. And like unless people are trying to foist, you know, tequila shots on you, there's no like natural way to just tell people. So I've had a lot of really awkward, funny conversations with folks, especially when it came time to tell people at work, which I started doing a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And that was a whole agonizing, you know, when do I tell? You know, we had our review process, typically happens in June. And I was thinking, might as well just wait till after the review. Why have that cloud anyone's thoughts about me? But then I was like, oh, whatever. The reviews got pushed till late July. And I'm like, I'm tired of, you know, pretending like nothing's different in my life. I'm out for all these doctor's appointments and missing work and stuff. So I think I owe it to the team to tell them, you know, what's happening. And everyone's been really cool about it. And I'm the first person in this office here to have a kid. Not that there's no people have kids in my office, but I'm the first one to like get pregnant here. Okay. So I feel like, okay, I'm going to set an example for what, you know, what's acceptable for a pregnant lady to do. And I'm just like, I talk about it. It's not a big secret. You know, I've already started making jokes about occupying our wellness room from my pumping, you know, when I get back and everything like that. And people have been really, yeah, supportive. So now that everyone knows, I feel it's starting to get real. I'm going to have a human to keep alive.
I know. That is so crazy. We're going to be an awesome mom.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm about halfway there. I'm at week 20, for those who are wondering. People always ask, how far along are you? When's it due? Week 20 and due December 1st.
Ooh, how did Drake react? Was he like, okay. You know, your brother.
Oh. My brother, I have the funniest video. I should share it with you guys. It's now that people know, oh, yeah, all the videos of our parents finding out are my dad and my husband's mother, their reactions are like so hilarious. But my brother was actually more shocked than my dad was. I was surprised. Really? Yeah, he was like, and he's been really funny and just, you know, he loves the idea of being an uncle. He's excited. He's like, I'm spending all my money on your child. I'm like, great. Yes! Awesome.
No, honestly, the first, like, when, like, so my sister, Carol, was the first to have, and plus we're all girls, and so her first baby was a boy. It was a wrap. It was, when I say a wrap, I'm like, King Roman, what do you tell me at 3 months? Like, I'm just here to listen to you. Honestly, there's nothing, and now she's got Amelia, and then my sister Karen has Lily, but it's just like, it's honestly, there's nothing more fun than being an auntie or an uncle, because like, I'm like, of course you can have ice pops for breakfast. Are you crazy? I don't care what your mother says. You know, like, you can do whatever you want. And they're just the best. Honestly, being an auntie or uncle is awesome, because you get all of the, you know, all of the love, none of the major responsibilities. Cause I'm like, okay, time to go home, Roman, and to mess up your own house. Yes. Because auntie's taking a nap. So yeah, just like, honestly, I think you're gonna see like a different side to your siblings. So you're gonna be like, oh, so clearly you love the kids more than me. Like, I will literally call my sister and I'm like, can you put Amelia on the phone, please? Thanks. Meanwhile, Amelia is like, what in the house? She's like, hi. I'm like, so how was your day? Oh my gosh, how was that girl at school? Is she still messing with you? Hi. She can't even speak. And I'm like, all right, so it was great, girl. I'm going to come by tomorrow, tell your mother to have you ready. So yeah, your siblings are going to be in love with your baby. That's awesome.
I already feel neglected just walking. Cause like, for me, there's so much focus on like baby stuff. I mean, of course the child is important. It's not here yet though. I'm also important. And you know what? Nothing fits me anymore and I need new clothes. So why when I go to stores that have maternity wear, why is the kids section three times as big as the maternity section? Why H&M? Why Old Navy? And also, it's nothing new. It's all like stuff people have returned. I guess like Old Navy and H&M don't sell. They only sell what people return at a discount though. So that's like the benefit. But I've been like having to shop online for stuff. I finally broke down and it's so far just trying to find things that fit. I'm like, can I get some attention and love? But yeah, you're right. I'm the first one of my siblings to have a kid, so I do feel like, oh, I get, you know, this kid's gonna get all the attention, because there's not like, my siblings don't have kids to like distract
spoil
them.
Like totally to spoil them. Rotten to the core. They're like, Mandy, yeah. I'm sorry, no one's speaking to you, I'm speaking to baby. Hey baby, how you doing? Oh, speaking of baby, so this is a perfect segue. I'm talking about baby and work. So I would say about 95% and maybe even 97% of the folks that work for Budgetista Enterprise, so I would call that like the Budgetista itself, my Literature Academy, my marketing company, my foundation. So like, it's mostly all women. Shout out to Kamon on my team. She just recently had a baby. But I want to say that in the last 2 years, we've had one, two, three, four babies in the last 2 years. So a lot of babies going on at Budgetista Enterprise. And it's kind of come up that like there's like a struggle with how do we, because we work digitally, and a lot of the moms actually stay home with their children. And if you've ever babysat anyone under the age of four, you know just how hard it is to get work done and to like care for your child. And so we came up with a solution that I'm hoping will really help and work. And I just want to share it. And I would love to know, like, at your jobs, what solutions do they have, if they even help with childcare? So here's a solution that we've come up with. So as you know, the Budgetista, we have a large audience. It's about 800,000 women worldwide. And so what we decided is we're actually going to do some sort of like, almost like Budgetista babysitting, where I'm going to reach out to the audience, share this the basic vicinity and state where the women who have children who are looking for childcare on my team, the Unicorn Squad, the women who have children that are looking for childcare, we're going to look for dream catchers in those areas, vet them. So, and you know, I used to be a school teacher myself. So vet them, background check, all of that. And then that way the women on the team can have access to at least three or four different dream catchers that you can hit up if you need childcare assistance. So if you're like, oh my gosh, major meeting and I know the baby's gonna cry, I know I can hit up, you know, Georgia, Thelma, Louise, or Sharon. And then too, we as a company are planning to offer like a childcare credit to help. So I'm going to look at what the numbers can dictate. So let's just say we set aside 2% of our gross income toward childcare credit, and that ends up being, I don't even know like what 2% of our gross income, just say for the sake of ease, it's $30,000. And so we've got, say, like five women. So $30,000 divided by five women, that would be, what is that, $6,000? 30 times five?
Yes.
So, yeah, $6,000. So then that would be the credit for the year that you could use toward childcare. So that's kind of our...
That's our, huge. That's awesome. So,
I'm excited about
that
it.
That should cover like 2 hours of daycare. I'm just kidding.
I'm just kidding. No, right? But at least something. Cause,
no, you know, that's like at least half a year's worth based on the estimates we've got.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I just want, because one, I, you know, it's when you, because, you know, I don't have children yet, but it's so, it wasn't an issue that I was experiencing. And so it's so important that you're talking to your team, because it totally, you know, that goes over my, that went over my head. I remember when Carol first went back to work, I used to babysit Roman every Tuesday and Thursday for like half a day. And I remember how tough that was with just him. And so, but because that's not my life now, it's not an issue that I would have paid attention to until it was brought to my attention. And now I'm like, okay, how do we make it that you are able to, you know, like work efficiently, but also live life efficiently. I really, because I told my team what's really important to me more than anything else truly is them. I want to run a heart-centric company where the focus is you, the individual, the woman. And we do have some men, but specifically because, you know, we cater to women. And so it's really important to me that the women who work on the team feel supported, not just professionally, but personally. And to work from that angle first. So personal, honestly, first. And because I know once we get your personal together, the professional, because I hired you because you're dope. I'm not worried about your capability of doing the work. You're here already. People kind of like vet themselves out. So that's not the component that I worry about. I just want to make sure that everybody is okay. I've got this, I don't know if it's like a Libra thing or empath thing. I've got this really big thing about that I need the people around me to be okay, or I can't feel okay. Like if you're my sibling, if you're not okay, I'm like, well, what do we need to do? Significant other, whoever. Like if I think that there's something that's wrong, not like something light where you're like, oh, you know, I had a bad day at work, but I'm talking about like something that is like fundamentally wrong, I can't rest with it. And so knowing that people were struggling in that way, I was like, what? Why did you guys not tell me? I didn't even think about this. We need a solution.
How did it come to be? Because I feel like what's great about what you're doing, like in order for you as a leader at obviously as the owner of your, you know, Budget Needs to Inc., you have the power to make these types of changes, but you can't, you don't know to make them unless people tell you. And I think
yes.
A lot of women probably feel like they don't, like they need to hide their struggle, or it's just part of their, you know, just managing childcare with their work. It's something they have to do on their own, and they can't tell their employer. They can't tell their manager because it'll be seen as them being weak or not contributing like other team members. And I feel like the fact that you, you know, like as a manager, you need people to feel comfortable enough and confident yeah. enough telling you. So yeah, how did you guys start that? Like, how did you first know it was an issue?
It was just a member of my team that was like, honestly, I'm drowning. And I don't like, she didn't want to say, but she was like, I'm literally at capacity, and it was showing. And I think that she was just like, it's now starting to cross over where I can't get this work done. And it's not, it wasn't like her not to get work done. So it was just, you know, it she didn't want to say, cause she felt like it was a personal situation. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, I wish I would have known. So we actually added, there's a 6-point, plan. I call it our pivot plan, to pivot toward that not being an issue anymore. So one of the things that I meet with my lead team on Monday, it's four women. And we met Monday mornings and Thursday mornings, but Monday was getting a little redundant because they're so efficient. It was like, well, we kind of work everything out on Thursday. We don't even need these Monday morning meetings. So instead, we are changing those Monday morning meetings to our mental health check-in Monday morning meeting. So on Mondays, instead of talking about business, we're not talking about business at all. I am checking in with you as a person. So we get on the call, what's happening? Like, you know, the baby's not drinking, this one has the flu, you're tired, whatever that looks like, that is your opportunity. I want to just talk to you like as a woman to woman. I could say, you know, IVF is like a struggle. I'm tired. I'm not sure about this. Like, I want all of that out on the table. And because that will really get it'll help me to understand, like, what are you really going through and how can we support you in your personal life? And not just you as a lead team member, but you meet with your teams and to have mental health check-ins with them weekly too, so you can bring that to the Monday meeting. Whereas maybe you're like, I'm fine, but you know what? One of the customer service young women, she's really struggling. And so, but I wouldn't know because I don't speak to her regularly. And so that's really important to me to, like, yes, to be in the know professionally, like, oh, marketing is down or whatever. But more importantly for me to be in the know personally, because sometimes people are really struggling or they're going through trauma. If you're going through trauma, why are we sending you a blog post to write? No, that's not what we do here. You know, like if I find out that something is happening, we all stop and secretly we're like, okay, nobody send work to such and such because I just found out that her uncle passed away. And she'll be like, hey guys, is there any work done? Nope, there's no work. Are you sure? Because nope, we're actually good today. You actually could take the rest of the day. And just like, and it doesn't reflect in your pay. It doesn't reflect in level of responsibility. You don't get penalized for being a human being. I want to run a different type of company where you can bring your whole self, your wife, your mother, your significant other self, your, you know, whatever self that encompasses you, you could bring your whole self to this company and it's embraced and it's part of the whole. I don't want it just for you to like, this is not just work for me. This is life. You know, you spend so much time here with these people. And I'm like, no, it has to mean more than that. And so, like, I feel like one of my saving graces is I never worked in corporate America. So I don't really have I don't have to unlearn those things. So this is the approach that happens when you teach preschool, honestly. And I feel like that's what I'm bringing to the table because Miss Charlene, when I taught preschool, this is what we did. She was my co-teacher. We talked about our life and how you doing, girl. And, oh, you have cramps. Well, you know, I'll take the kids outside. How about you lay down on the cot? Oh, like you and your boyfriend broke up. I'm going to come by this weekend and we'll watch movies. And so that kind of like care for each other as women in the workplace is what I experienced when I taught preschool for 10 years. And I think that it made us better teachers. It made us just better, you know, it just made us better. And I want to bring that to the company. And we just, like I said, we have some pivot points that we can do to make it better. So I'm excited, especially for the child care credit to roll out and to finding, you know, child care options for the people who need it.
Yeah, well, we got so many great stories from our listeners on their child care experiences. But you're right, it's not just about like the financial burden. It's also how your employer, wherever you work, startup, independent, you know, how you're treated at work when it comes to those issues. And like get into it, because as a parent, I think you need to build up that confidence in opening up to your employer. And any good manager, whether you are, you know, the budgetista or you work for a company, any good manager is having a one-on-one check-in at least biweekly with mm-hmm. their direct reports. And you need to use that time tonight. I'm constantly harping on this to my people. It's like, it's not, and I make a point, I'm not the best at small talk sometimes. I'm like very much like goal-oriented. I just want to get to the point, but I force myself to, you know, learn about each person. Not that I have to force myself, but you know how it is when you're just like mm-hmm. focused on the work. But open up about myself. And I think by talking about my pregnancy and not making it some big secret, saying I do need time off every few weeks to go to the doctor for the morning, like, and not making it something that's I should be ashamed about, because I'm not, so that they feel when they're ready to start a family yep. or they need to ask out, you know, time off for their kid being sick. Believe me, I'm cash all the flexibility I've given my team when it comes to childcare for their kids, I will be granting it to myself as well.
Mm-hmm. And good.
And yeah. And it's not just about the money, but that's amazing. I think that will make a huge difference and just show where your values are, you know, for your team. And that'll trickle down. Awesome.
Yes. Oh,
baby on the brain.
Right. This is such a war. I feel like we're like the whole BA, you know, like listenership is like slowly we're like, come in for the hug. You know, I'm not a big hugger, but at this moment in time, I want you to lean into the hug. Listen. Okay. Hug, hug, hug. Okay. Squeeze, let go.
I'll need your hugs December 2nd. And childcare wise, we're fortunate because my husband's mother doesn't work and she am I fortunate? I don't know. She basically wants 100% childcare custody as soon as this child is in the world. So we'll have support. Like, you know, I'll have my maternity leave. My husband's got his paternity. It's not amazing, but we'll be able to cobble together probably 5 to 6 months off to be home. And then I plan on I plan on just letting myself figure out what I want. Like, people are asking me, what's your childcare plan? Is your mother-in-law going to move in? You know, are you going to put him in daycare? And I'm like, how do I know and what I need until it's like in the world? And I don't know if I'm going to, like, I might be so crazy staying at home that I'm going to want to go back to work immediately. Or I might negotiate work from home for a few extra months. Like, I don't know.
And it's okay not to know. And just woosah now, because everyone is going to give you so much, quote unquote, advice.
Or they just ask questions that stress you out with no actionable tips included.
Yes. And you don't have to. I mean, like, honestly, nobody knows anything. Like, you just, you don't have to know. You just, like you said, I remember when like Roman first came home, I remember we all had like this plan, like, okay, I'm going to spend 2 weeks with Carol. Then you spend. After a week, Carol's like, everybody get out of my house.
Right. Yes. I feel like honestly, I will be Carol.
She was like, you're stressing me out. Everyone is stressing me out. Everyone get out of my house. It's too much. I will debate, like, the baby is stressed enough. Now I got to worry about you. Like, did you eat? Do you want some cereal? Like, so.
Like hosting. And like,
so, exactly. But then my sister, Karen, was different. Like, her mother-in-law moved in, and she's like, her mother-in-law's amazing. She's super nice, like, fun. And she moved in, and Karen was like, oh my gosh, she's so great with the baby. I'm so glad she's here. And then my mother stayed for a couple months, and then my sister Tracy went, then like my sister Lisa went. So Karen was very much like, you know, please tag the next person in. So you just don't know what you're going to feel until you get there. And there's nothing wrong with either way.
Thank you. I'm just going to give myself the space to just, you know, be this, you know, vessel of life. And just, I caught myself watching YouTube videos on childbirth. Don't do that.
Ah, don't do that.
You don't want to see. You don't want to see. But anyway, I'm very excited. Thank you guys. You know, I don't know why I'm saying thank you. Thank you for your gifts in advance. I'll send you my registry link. No, but yeah, first Brown Ambition baby. We need like some Brown Ambition onesies or something.
We do. We do.
All right, BA fam, y'all know when it comes to financial advice, you have to trust your source. That's why you listen to Brown Ambition, right? And when I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. I've been a longtime fan of NerdWallet. In fact, I almost work there a couple of times because when it comes to financial experts and writing, they really know how to give you the best reviews of financial products. I honestly wouldn't sign up for a credit card today if I hadn't looked at a review on a site like NerdWallet myself. And honestly, if y'all haven't learned about NerdWallet, you're missing out. And with their help, what could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms of each credit card issuer apply.
Now that we've gotten all that great news out of the way, it is time for one of my favorite segments, Questions. Name that tune, Mandy.
Was that a song?
Okay, I'm going to do it again.
That's not fair.
I'm going to do it again. It's the tune that you want to name. It is time for Brown Ambition Questions. Please ask what you need. Now it's time to ask the questions. You
Jingle Bells?
Wait, what is it? It's not Jingle Bells. It's not Jingle Bells.
It's Jingle Bells.
It's Deck the Halls. Deck the Halls.
Wait, that's the same tune, I think.
Jingle Bells is Jingle Bells. Jingle Bells.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Deck the Halls. But why are we in Christmas? I don't understand. It's July, though. It's 100 degrees out.
Honestly, I don't even know where it came from. It just came from nowhere. And I was like to see if, like, you know, meanwhile, I'm always testing Mandy's like random unnecessary knowledge. And you're like, I don't know.
I thought I was going to lose another black card because it's always some like obscure 90s Black reference that I wasn't alive long enough to know.
This one is straight.
I got you on Christmas you carols.
You did. You got me. Like, you know, you were in at least the vicinity. So we're gonna let you keep that one. All right, so it's time for some questions. What questions are in the box?
Oh, got some good questions today. Let me pop over to the Instagram. Again, we are at Brown Ambition Podcast on Instagram. Feel free to shoot us your questions. Do let me know if you want me to put you on blast with your name or if you want to be anonymous, because if you don't, I will say your name or at least your Instagram handle. And for those of you who've been sending questions, thank you very, very much. So first question, let me see. Ooh, this question comes from, what's her name? Oh, at meme702 on Instagram. She says, I'm loving your podcast, but I need some help. I feel completely lost. I'm 41 years old and I've never invested, but I would love to start. I work as a childcare provider in my home. My husband works outside of the home. Where should I start? Dun, dun, dun. Well, 41, I mean, it's over for you. Like, why are you even trying? I'm just kidding.
That's so young.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, 41, forget about your age when it comes to like investing. Like, just start when you feel ready, honestly. And so if you're working from home and your husband's outside of the home, I would ask, does your husband get access to a 401k? If he does, and even better, if his company matches his contributions, I would definitely start there, because you don't want to leave money on the table if they're going to match, you know, a percentage of his savings. You, as an independent, you know, working for yourself, don't have the same benefit or don't have the opportunity to get a match. So I would first start there. Secondly, you can easily open, you know, as far as like the, you know, options, you can go to like any firm, like a Vanguard, a Fidelity, TD Ameritrade, and open a starter, just an IRA, individual retirement account, that you can open and start saving in personally. There's also a SEP IRA, which is an option if you are self-employed. I would say check with an accountant. So first investment I think might be good for you is invest in, you know, a consultation with an accountant, someone who can give you really solid advice to get you off the ground. It may cost a couple hundred bucks, but think about just having someone give you that shove in the right direction and select the right account for you. And then just start setting aside however much you feel comfortable with each month, you know, warranted that your day-to-day expenses are covered and you are, you know, you have a decent size emergency fund, then there's no need to delay. Just start small. It can be, you know, $100 a month, just something.
Exactly. And I mean, honestly, Mandy basically said it all. That's what I would say. Honestly, look to your husband where he can start. You could put whatever amount of money that you want a month into like a Vanguard fund. Sometimes I think people think like, well, if my job doesn't offer it, that's okay, because you can do the same for yourself outside of your, you know, your job. You want to start quickly and as soon as possible, because yes, there is a benefit to starting early, but it's never too late to start. I mean, I started early, backtracked by taking all that money out, then started a little later. And, you know, either way, you're in the game. That's really what's most important, that getting in the game is better than not being in the game.
And at 41, I mean, I hope you live a long and blessed life. Average age is like for women today is in their 80s, early 80s. You got 40 years ahead of you. That is a long time horizon. It's definitely not too late to start investing now. And, you know, it's also not too late for you to be a little aggressive with your investing too. Like, don't think you need to just like keep your money in a savings account, because you're not going to, especially if you're starting a little bit later, you don't have the potential to earn what you might earn, you know, if you were to invest. That being said, you're also not 21. So you don't want to be over invested in stocks. So that's why I think it might be a good idea for you. Start with maybe a consultation with a financial planner or an accountant. Just get someone who's fee only, who will charge you a flat, you know, rate just to get you started. And someone who isn't going to, you know, want to take a cut of your future, you know, earnings in your investment account. Or if you want to do even simpler, what is that app called? Acorns? Is that the one where you can sign up and it rounds up your, does it round up your purchases and then it saves?
Yep. So you can leftovers? Cause I have Acorns. So you can put, like, you know, you can say $50 a month or whatever. And then you can also say, hey, every time I swipe this particular card or whatever, you know, round up that change. So that's a good, like, super easy place to kind of start. But I agree with Mandy that, you know, you're going to want to sit with a professional just to get a better understanding. But you can literally sign up for Acorns tonight just so you get started, even if it's $20 a month. So it's something. It's not about the $20. It's about the habit of I am setting aside for my future. I understand that it is my younger self's job to take care of my older self.
Take care of your inner Wandra.
No, what's her, what's inner her Wanda.
Wanda, okay. I have a cousin named Wandra. Shout out to Kihei. All right. Thank you for your question at meme702. Let's see. Oh, here's a question that we got from last week, and I just asked for a little bit of follow-up information. So this is Instagram user Binks. So Binks has a question about paying off her car note. So she says, I'm thinking of purchasing a home in the next few years. I think to get there, my first step should be to pay off my car. But I find that idea unsettling because, honestly, people cannot drive in Atlanta. So I was thinking of saving the amount in an online savings account. If I were to save up enough money to pay off my car, do you think that I can negotiate how much I owe with my lender down by having a lump sum? Binks. Interesting.
I was going to say that. I've never heard that before. I don't want to say no, but I'm saying not likely because, I mean, it's the amount of, I mean, it's not like a loan. Well, I don't want to say no. I quite honestly have never heard about anybody negotiating for like, hey, I know I owe you, $10,000 on a car. What if I gave you $8,000 in a lump sum? Because here's in general, this is what I found about lenders, even when I was going through my foreclosure and stuff, that the only time that they are open for negotiation is when you haven't given them anything for a while. Because at that point, they're like, just give me something. Right. Even when you're going for modification. So modification is like when you're trying to get your, like, so for a mortgage, and when I couldn't afford my mortgage anymore, I applied for modification, and that's when they're trying to modify my mortgage to a lower monthly payment. And the only way to qualify for modification was for me to be late and consistently late. So I wasn't late. So when I first applied, they would not give me modification because in the bank's eyes, so you're telling me, person who pays on time, that you don't want to give me the money that you've been giving me. Why should I take less when you're giving me my money? Now, I'm not advocating for you not to pay. Like, well, I'm just going to be late on my car payment and then see if they'll take less money because you don't want to tank your credit score and your chances of getting a home. But I'm just saying that lenders typically don't look to settle or negotiate when they're already receiving their money. Like, take yourself out for a minute of like, it's you. And just like, imagine somebody owed you money. They owed you $1,000 and they were giving you $100 a month. And it's been 4 months and they paid you your $100 on the first of every month, never been late. And they're like, hey, girl, I know I owe you $600. Can I just give you $400? It's like, no, I'll just continue to get my $100 a month for the next 6 months. Thanks. You see what I mean? So there's no real benefit for the bank. So like I said, I've never heard of it before. I'm not going to say no, but I just don't know how likely that is.
Well, let me help out a little bit here. So when I got this question, I reached out to Jennifer Jones, who is the autos writer that we have here at LendingTree, where I work. And I asked Jen, because she has experience actually working in the financing office at dealerships around the country. So I asked Jen, is this something that you've heard before? And she said, honestly, every lender is a little bit different. It takes two to negotiate. So all you can do is start to ask. But she said, so you're to your point, because I had the same thought, you know, what's in it for the bank to negotiate someone who's been paying their note on time? But Jen actually said, if you tell them something like, you know, be truthful about your situation, if you're truly struggling, if you think you're about to file bankruptcy, or you've got other debts that have been piling up, you know, since you originally took out the loan, and you ask them how they can help you, you may find that they may be actually sympathetic to your cause. And one of the reasons that Jen pointed out is that, yes, you can say, why would they negotiate with you? All they have to do is repossess your car if you stop paying. But Jen said, people don't realize it's actually expensive for the lender to repossess cars. And they have to sell the car for wholesale, which means they would get less than probably what they wanted to if they were able to trade it in or something like that. So they may not even want to take the car back in most situations. And that may give you some negotiation leverage when it comes down to it. So it's not a no, it's just more of a depends. Mm-hmm. in this particular case with listener Binks, you know, she's thinking, let me pay off my car so I'll be ready to purchase a home and have, you know, that'll help you lower your debt to income ratio, mm-hmm. which is a big factor for getting approved for a mortgage or even just getting a better mortgage rate. So I do think it's a good idea. I would just say you won't know unless you ask your lender, and you will go into the conversation, and Jen agreed with this, you'll go into the conversation a lot stronger if you can say, I have this lump sum and I can pay off the car right now.
And so you might want to wait to have the conversation until you actually have the lump sum.
Yeah.
Yes. That was good. I never heard that before. I was like, I never thought about that. But yes, honestly, and if you do it, let us know, because I would love, or if anybody's in the audience has done that before, please let us know. I would love to know the outcome and maybe kind of share with us what kind of tipped the scale in your favor so that way we can share.
100%. Hit us up at brownambitionpodcast@gmail.com or Instagram @brownambitionpodcast. Where else can they find us? Twitter @theBAPodcast. brownambitionpodcast.com. Just Google Brown Ambition Podcast. We're everywhere. Thank you guys for your questions.
Yes, and now it's time for Booster Break for all the family. Will you boost? Will you break? What will it be, Mandy?
Mickey Mouse Club nailed it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, after 10,000 years, but I'm going to let it. I'm going to leave it. Okay.
Easy. So I've got to do a break this week. I heard, I think it came out a couple of weeks ago, Disney cast Halle Bailey of Halle. Is it Halle and Chloe? How do they pronounce that X in the middle? Okay. Yeah. So they cast young, beautiful black singer, actress Halle Bailey as the new Ariel in The Little Mermaid, which was like, no one saw that coming. It was freaking amazing. But of course, very quickly after that news broke, we had this hashtag start on Twitter, #NotMyAriel, which became a whole thing. There were think pieces written on it. Black Twitter went insane. Of course, we're all defending why we need, you know, why a mythical character, you know, can be any shade of the rainbow. And then an article came out this week that actually people looked back. Where did this #NotMyAriel come from? Turns out it was Russia. Yeah. So, there, you know, if you haven't heard, like a lot of the reason, like what's there's these Russian, like there's these companies that just hire people to stoke flames on Twitter just to, you know, get Americans all riled up and at each other's throats. And they created this hashtag purposefully to tap into what actually worked, which is like this latent understanding, this latent expectation of racism in America, and got, it was like minorities versus white people, and, you know, just all this unnecessary debate, which is not, because like it was started by these Russian bots on social media. It like distorts what's really going on. Are people really that upset about a black Ariel, or is it just Russian bots making us think that we have,
people are upset,
you know, of course, I'm sure there's a handful of people in America who, you know, are very upset about this and black Santa Claus and everything else. But I got to do a brown break for buying into the social media rage machine and just like jumping on the bandwagon and chiming in, because you could just be proliferating a completely false like
narrative.
Yeah. Thank you. Narrative. So just think about it and, you know, do your Googles to see where things originated from before you believe what's really going on.
It's such a shame that, you know, it caught on so quickly. There's something to be said for that as well. Well, I am actually going to boost. Speaking of dope black women in the movies and such. So 007, James Bond. I take my, what is it? Is he saying like shaken, not stirred or something like that? I don't know. Anyway.
Bond, James Bond. That's all I know.
So anyway, currently he is played by a man named Daniel Craig. That's like, he's a kind of blondish blue eyes. But wasn't he like originally from, he was so handsome. Like, he's got like a Scottish accent. The original James Bond. Well, he's not the original.
Pierce Brosnan? No.
No.
Sean Connery. Ooh, yes. Woof. Where did I dig that up from?
I don't know. Honestly, I didn't have it.
So Sean Connery. I don't know if that was the first one, and I know it's not, but that's like the first one I remember. So anyway, it's always been played by a dude. So for the very first time, not only is 007, obviously her name is not going to be James Bond, but not only is the 007 character going to be played by a woman, it's by a black woman, a black British actress to be, in fact.
Her name is win, no more.
Her name is LaShonda Lynch. And for years, there has been intense speculation about who's going to take over the reins of the most, I mean, honestly, the James Bond kind of like series is like the most durable and profitable film franchises in history. And so the fact that they're getting a black woman is like, wait a minute. She is 31 years old. She is a newcomer.
Wasn't she in the Captain Marvel movie? She played like the Air Force pilot, the best friend of Captain Marvel.
Oh, yes, I think you're right.
Yeah, that was when I first saw her.
Knowing things in pop culture. Okay. So honestly, I am super duper excited. So now that you know about the whole fake hashtag Not My Ariel, please be mindful that I'm sure that the Russian bots are also working on Not My Bond or whatever.
Don't do it. Don't retweet it.
Yeah, don't do it. Just, you know, just enjoy.
Just show up to the movies whenever it comes out. That's all you have to do to protest. That's all exactly. You have to do.
Yeah. So, yeah, honestly, I'm really excited to see it because I'm excited to see, like, you know, from a woman's perspective, like, what are they going to do? Because, you know, James Bond is supposed to be like kind of like this like sexy spy that solves crime or whatever, but also seduces women. So I'm really excited to see what is it going to look like from a woman's perspective, you know?
If it wasn't going to be Idris Elba, the god of, you know, cinema, like, I love Idris. If it wasn't going to be him, because, you know, he was in the mix for a while and I really was like wanting him to win this role. But yeah, if it wasn't going to be him, this is like honestly even better than I could have imagined. Like, I didn't even think beyond it's got to be a dude, which, you know, I should question my own, you know, my own thought process. But the fact that it's a woman and they have a woman writing it, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, who's like a writer and actress that I've really been a fan of, she's actually writing the script. Like, this is major. I'm so excited.
Major. This is like, honestly, since Wakanda was discovered, it's really been kind of a good thing for blacks and browns.
Is it the Wakanda effect? It could be.
I don't know. You know, I feel like that movie was so like, wait, black people go to movies? Black people like seeing black people? Wait a minute.
Who aren't Madea?
Which, I mean, no shade to Tyler Perry, because, you know, we're also grateful for the fact that their doors are healed. You know, but at the same time, it's like when my cousin started Moonalucci Bridal, right? So it started off as a magazine. Now it's like this whole enterprise. But I remember when she wanted to get into Barnes & Noble, and somehow she got with the buyer at Barnes & Noble. She hadn't even launched the magazine just yet. And they were like, I don't know, do black people want to see bridal magazines? As if black and brown women don't get married. I mean, are you kidding me? And so she, when she did the first run of the first issue of Moonalucci Bridal, they told her do not print more than 3,000 copies. They were actually going to, which I don't know how Jackie managed it. Shout out to Jackie. So she was able to convince them to like roll it out to all the Barnes and Nobles. Meanwhile, Jackie was like a scientist or something ahead of time. She had no printing experience, none of this. She just was like, I got married to my husband. There were no magazines available. This sucks. I'm going to start something. And she got really into photography and started this magazine. They told her, don't print any more than 3,000 copies, and we'll just sprinkle them in a few Barnes & Nobles around the country. She did a $10,000 run. That means, like, just amount that you print at one time. And they were like, not $10,000, 10,000 issue run. They were like, yo, you're bugging, you're crazy. It sold out in, like, 3 days. They're like, do you have more? Because black and brown women get married, and they like to see themselves in magazines. They could not believe, Barnes & Noble could not believe how quickly it flew off the shelves. And that was like, I don't even know. It might have been up to like 10 years ago, but it's been forever ago, and she's been killing it ever since. So this is just, you know, sometimes we forget, like, black and brown women, they care about finance. Black and brown women get married. Black and brown women, like, we do all the things. So having representation is always going to be a win for you. Rihanna taught us that we actually like to wear makeup too. Imagine that, you know? And so now you see literally every makeup brand, Mandy. Do you notice they all have like 50 colors now? I'm like, mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's just like, this is just such an awesome thing. And I just love that, like, we're starting to normalize, like, you know, brownness in make it just mainstream, because we are mainstream. And so, yes, child. Mm-hmm.
I can't wait. Can't wait. Congrats, LaShawna.
Yes. And shout out to y'all, because a friend of the show, Tanya of MyFabFinance, she had posted, I think I saw, because I saw I was tagged. She posted, like, what finance podcast are you guys listening to? And when I tell you, Brown Ambition was all in those comments. I mean, like, I felt like every other comment. I was like, oh my God, you guys love us.
We got to have Tanya on the show.
I know. And I was like, it was just so nice, because, you know, someone, because they, most people had tagged Brown Ambition, but one person was tagged me, and I'm like, what's this? And I was looking in the comments, and I was like, wow. It's like Brown Ambition with Mandy and Tiffany, Brown Ambition. I was like, OMG. So I just thought that was really, like, you know, just really, you guys really love us, and we love you back.
I knew they loved us. But it's always amazing to see you guys. Keep tagging us on Instagram, too, because I love sharing your fun little videos. Oh, my God. Y'all see the video of the little boy, the little toddler? I forget,
yes,
what the
opening credits. Yes.
Oh, my God. Gave me hope for my own little human spawn. Will it be that cool? I hope so.
It will.
You are the best. We have literally been through every life stage with our listeners, to be honest.
Single life.
Should we be recording into our 80s? I mean, come on. If I can still see my computer screen, I might.
I know, right? I mean, yeah, honestly, it's awesome. I love that you guys have grown up with us. So tell a friend to listen. Okay. Bring a guest next time.
Leave a review for all our new listeners. Please go to iTunes, leave a review. I think we're at 700 reviews yet. Let's get to 1,000. Why not? Help us get to 1,000 reviews. The more reviews you leave, the more that tells iTunes you guys love our show, and they will feature it like they've always given us love. The reason they do that is because you guys demand it of them. So that is honestly the best way you can thank us for the show, is just go to iTunes, leave a review, let your friends know. It helps so much.
It does. Okay, y'all. Mantra, you rest, because I know baby takes a lot of energy.
I'm in the second trimester. I'm feeling good, you know? First trimester, mm-hmm. For sure. It was a struggle. Struggle bus city. Yeah.
You sound good. You sound like more like peppy.
I had a coffee an hour ago, so that helped.
Coffee.
You can do that. Science says I can. Don't even get me started. I don't want to. You guys, I don't care about your opinions. What I read said I can have 200 milligrams of caffeine a day. And
no,
believe
but you
me.
Know what? Like, my bestie did that too. Because she's really into coffee, and she literally used to measure out every day. Like, ooh, I can't wait for my bit of coffee. So I, you're right. I totally forgot.
Yep.
And one of my besties was like a coffee fanatic, and she was like, I know how much I can have. I have it. Leave me alone. I'm like, you know what? And her baby is thriving. He's 4 now, and just like, and he is coffee chocolate. Shout out to Gabe. Hey, baby.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a PS to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the PS first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.